Good morning. It's morning. Where I'm at. Good morning. Hope everybody doing well. Coming back to you with part of chapter 7 from the book Introduce Me to Love by Joyce Myers. And we will be reading half of the chapter, because this chapter is kind of lengthy. So I said I'm going to do a part one and part two of it. So I'm going to read as much, and then I'm going to stop, and then I'm going to come back with part two. This chapter talks about the many facts of love. So we're just going to jump right in and start reading. Chapter 7. Love endures long and is patient and is kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to its suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. That is a version of 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. In chapter 6, we saw that unselfishness is an important fact of love. But love is like a diamond. It has many faces. Whatever way a diamond is turned, it sparkles in a little different way. That is the way love is. Love is one thing, but it displays in many different ways. If we are not aware of this fact, we may believe that we are walking in love while being impatient or rude, selfish, or proud. Love is displayed in particular ways. It is what holds relationships together. How many marriages would be saved if a husband would simply be kinder, or a wife would be less touchy? What would happen if all the members of a church would decide to believe the best of one another and of their pastor? The thought is quite sobering. We should not imagine that we know everything of love unless we are operating in all the facts of love. These fruits of the Spirit defined in chapter 1 should be our goal. Once my goal was to build a big ministry, yet no matter what I did, my ministry did not grow. I had my priorities out of order. Developing my love walk was towards the bottom of my list. Therefore, God would not permit growth in my ministry. I needed to be educated on the real meaning of love. I discovered quickly that it was more than words. I learned that it was costly and that it took quite an effort. Less consider some of the many facts of love presented in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love endures long and is patient, 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. Love is seen as we are patient with one another. The world today is filled with impatient people. It seems that everyone is in a hurry. Stress levels are very high in the life of most people, and the pressures they live under provokes impatience. Even Christians are as prone to impatience as everybody else. Most of us don't want to wait for anything. We are always in a hurry to get on the next thing on our busy schedule. Therefore, we get impatient with anyone who holds up or slows us down. You and I have many weaknesses ourselves, yet we get impatient with the faults and weaknesses of others. We want God to be merciful to us, but often we are not willing to give to others the same mercy we receive. We are impatient with people, and we are impatient with our circumstances. We are even impatient with God. We want Him to move faster than He does. We want Him to give us what we want right now, whether we are ready to handle it or not. We want to reap all the benefits of the spiritual life, but we are not willing to do what it takes to develop spiritual maturity. Amen. We do not want to go through anything. We want to bypass all the rough roads in life, even though the difficult times help us grow spiritually. We want drive-through breakthroughs. In other words, we want, yet we are not willing to mature. We want all of our breakthroughs to come quickly without any preparation or effort on our part. We can go through the drive-thru lane for a fast food restaurant and order a quick hamburger, but it does not have the nutrients that a healthy home-cooked meal does. Thousands of people today are suffering from poor health. The root cause of much of it is poor nutrition, which has resulted from grabbing something quick to eat so we can get on the next thing on our agenda. Multitudes are also suffering from spiritual malnutrition caused by being in too big a hurry to spend time with God. Love is patient. It is not in a hurry. It always takes time to wait on God, to fellowship with Him. A person whose life is marked by love is patient with people. He is even patient with himself, with his own fatalities and weakness. He is also kind. He takes the time to listen to the elderly people who is lonely and wants to talk. He is willing to listen to the same story 4 or 5 times just to show kindness. The patient person is long-suffering. He can put up with something uncomfortable for a long period of time without complaining. He has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. James 1 and 4, King James Version, tells us that the patient man is perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means he is content. If we are impatient, Satan can keep our lives in turmoil. All he needs to do is All he needs to do is arrange for us to have a situation we don't like. Amen. And our peace goes out the window. It sure does. He sets us up to get upset. He sure does. Patience is a wonderful virtue. It is one of the fact. It is one of the facets of love, which must be developed by the person who is seeking to have a strong love walk and display the character of Jesus Christ. Love is not envious or jealous. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. 1 Corinthians 13:4. According to Proverbs 14:30, envy, jealous, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. In the word of God, we are commanded not to covet anything that belongs to another person. Exodus 20:17. We are not to be envious or jealous because these things poison our life and hinder loving relationships with others. Love does not envy or become jealous. It rejoices when others are blessed. I have discovered the best way to get over envy or jealousy is to admit it. When you begin to feel jealous or envious, be honest with God and ask Him to help you live free from it. I admit there are times when I hear about a blessing that someone has received, and I start to think, when is that going to happen to me? When that thought enters my mind, I immediately open my mouth and say, I am happy for him. If God can do it for him, he can do it for me too. If a young man is unmarried and has been praying and asking God to give her, If a young woman, please forgive me, is unmarried and has been praying and asking God to give her a husband, it may be difficult for her to be truly happy for her friends when they get married. In such situations, instead of being unhappy or jealous or envious, we can be happy for others and let their blessings be an encouragement to us, believing that what God did for them, he can do for us. If he did it once, he can do it again. We should learn to pray for others to be blessed. We should learn to pray for God to do for them what we are believing. He will do for us what we make happen for someone else through our prayers, etc. God will make happen for us. Amen. I say that all the time. We should bless others and not be afraid that they will get ahead of us. We must not envy anyone else's appearance, possession, education, social standing, marital status, gifts, talents, job, or anything else, because it will only hinder our own blessings. There was a time in my life when I envied people who could sing really well. God showed me that by envying them, I was unable to enjoy the gift he had placed in them for my benefit. Yes, you see, God puts gifts in others for others, not for ourselves. A singer may enjoy singing tremendously, but she does not enjoy it as much as those who hear her. God gave her the gift for the benefit of others. I enjoy preaching and teaching the word very much, but I probably don't enjoy it as much as the people who are helped by my gift of communication. It does others more good than it does me. I am helped through the gifts of others, and they are helped by my gift. That is one reason that we all are different and need each other. Being jealous and envious of one another is a total waste of time. We all have gifts that God has given us. They don't come from any other source. We must be content with what heaven has sent us. God has a unique plan for each of our lives, and the gifts he gives us are part of that plan. We can trust him. He knows his business. What he does for others is actually none of our business. Our business is to walk in love. Amen. Ask yourself if there is anyone in your life that you are jealous and envious of. If there is, begin to deal with that situation. Love is not envious, nor does it boil over with jealousy. Anyone who intends to have a strong love walk, will have to grow beyond being envious and jealous of other people. Love is not proud and boastful. Love is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5. Love does not think more highly of itself than it should, simply because the person who is walking in love is not thinking of himself at all. His mind is not on himself, but on others. Love is always reaching out, looking for ways to be a blessing, ways to serve God. Love takes every opportunity to do good and is always mindful to be a blessing to others, as we are told in Galatians 6:10. So then, as occasion and opportunity opens up to us, let us do good morally to all people, not only being useful or profitable to them, but also doing what it is for their spiritual good and advantage. Be mindful to be a blessing, especially to those of the household of faith, those who belong to God's family with you, the believers. The person who is walking in love has no difficulty saying, "I'm sorry." But the proud man or woman finds these two simple words very difficult to utter. Pride strives to be seen as knowing more than others. In contrast, love does not display its knowledge, nor does it seek to appear right in every debate. Paul tells us that knowledge without love only causes people to be puffed up. Now, about food offered to idols, of course we know that all of us possess knowledge concerning these matters. Yet more knowledge causes people to be puffed up, to bear themselves loftily and be proud. But love, affection and goodwill and benevolence edifies and builds up and encourages one to grow to his full stature. 1 Corinthians 8:1. The proud individual boasts of his accomplishments. He fails to give God the glory, but takes it unto himself. He is frequently found talking about himself, what he is doing, what he has done, what he knows, who he knows, etc. The Bible warns us against boasting. Do not boast of yourself and tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger or not, and not your own lips. Proverbs 27:1-2. As again I state before in other chapters that when I read verses, some of them not from King James Version, King James Version. So if it sounds different, it's because it reads different. Yet ye do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? Ye are really but a whiff of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappear into thin air. Ye ought instead say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live and we shall do this or that thing. But as it is, ye boast falsely in your perception and your self-conceit. All such boasting is wrong. James 4:14-16. The Apostle Paul is a good example for a man who had to be humble. In Matthew 26:31-35, we see that Peter thought more highly of himself than he should have. In that passage, we read that just before the crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples they will all be offended and all fall away from him. In verse 33, Peter declared to the Lord that he would never do such a thing. In response, Jesus warned Peter that before that very night was over, his fears would cause him to deny him three times. But Peter could not conceive that he would ever be that weak. Peter really did not know himself, and many of us are the same way. We look at others and judge them, thinking, I would never do that. Then we, then when we find ourselves in a similar situation, we do things we would have never believed possible. Amen. Peter needed to go through the experience of falling, apart in the crisis hour. He had to see his weakness before he could bring them to the cross and find God's strength. Yes, Peter failed miserably. He denied Jesus three times. He fell apart in a critical time, but in the end, result was good. The experience humbled him and brought him to the place where God could use him greatly. Amen, amen, amen. God can only use humble men and women. We must humble ourselves and he will exalt us. 1 Peter 5:6. I have heard it said that it is yet to be seen what God can do through a man or a woman who will give him all the glory. Amen. Pride and love do not mix. Love is not proud and haughty. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It is not puffed up. Love does not look down on others. It does not see them as little and insignificant, because love values every person, everyone who comes in contact with someone who is full of love will be made to feel special, valuable, and built up. Pride is a difficult problem for us to deal with because it hides in our thinking, in the deepest recesses of our mind. Pride will not admit that it is present because it is too proud to do so. We have had teaching texts available for years on the subject pride. They are not our bestsellers. I believe that is because those people who need them are too proud to pick them up, to pick them off the table to purchase. After all, someone might see them and wonder if they have a problem with pride. Jesus continuously humbled himself and we must follow his example. Let each of us esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each of the interests of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Philippians 2, 4 and 5, 4th verse and 5th verse. As with Peter, the Lord had to teach him many lessons about pride, and they were hard lessons to learn. It is quite amazing how interested we are in ourselves. It is a powerful testimony when the Holy Spirit can work with us and change us from pride, haughty, puffed up, boastful individuals into humble service of God and man. I am still growing in these areas and probably will always be, but I am pressing on towards the mark of the high calling. Philippians 3 and 14, King James Version. The high call of God is that we should be like Jesus, that Christ-likeness should be developed in our character. Jesus humbled himself and came to the earth as the Son of Man to save us from our sins. We cannot help ourselves unless we are willing to follow his example and humble ourselves. The Bible states that Jesus stripped himself of all of his rightful privileges as the Son of God and became a servant. Philippians 2, 6 through 7 verse. Pride must be served, but humility is free to serve others. Pride demands its rights, but humility willingly lays them aside when needed. Pride lives for itself, but humility lives for others. The person who is committed to walking in love will grow to hate pride in himself. Every appearance of it in his life will be dealt with immediately because he knows the dangers of it. What is the danger of pride? Pride keeps people trapped in a prison called self. There are only three people in this prison: me, myself, and I. It is a really lonely place. Pride hinders God from using people. It is mean to others, shows disrespect, is stinging, and always demands to be first in everything. Pride wants to be seen, noticed, pampered, made comfortable, and exalted. Humility is satisfied knowing that God is in control. It trusts, enjoys rest and peace. It is obedient and joyful and delightful and delights in making others happy. Love is not rude. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. 1 Corinthians 13 and 5. It amazes me how much rudeness we encounter in our daily lives. I would like to say that in all emanates from unbelievers, but the fact is that many Christians are rude. We believers are in the world, but we must resist becoming like it, or perhaps I should say work to get over being like it. Although we become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to study God's word and ways, we still have a lot of bad habits. Those bad habits need to be broken and new ones formed. It takes time, but we should be relentless in our pursuit of goodly, godly behavior. Those who walk in love are not rude and unmannerly. They do not behave themselves unbecomingly. If I am dressed unbecomingly, it means that I am wearing something that does not look good on me. When we as believers act unbecomingly, we are wearing spiritual clothing that does not look good on us. God is not impressed with our closet full of outfits, but he is impressed when we put on love. Colossians 3 and 14. To put on love, we must put on behavior that is not rude. It is not rude to interrupt others when they are talking, especially without saying, "Please excuse me, but I really need to ask you something important." It is rude to push in front of others to be first in line or to get the best seat. It is rude to yank something out of someone's hand or to fail to say thank you or please. Sorry. It is rude to stand outside someone's open door when it is clear that person is having a conversation with someone else. In such a case, we could say, "I need to see you for a moment when you have time," then get far away that we are not overhearing the conversation. It would behoove all of us to get a good book of manners on manners and read it often. I am sure that the list of good manners would be helpful and that the list of rude manners would be endless. Let us all ask God to show us the ways in which we are rude and unmannerly, and then ask him for the grace. As I told you previously, grace is God's unmerited favor to change. I'm going to read one more. Stop at this one. So this is part one of chapter 7, The Many Faces of Love. And I just want to say, start right here and say that is so true. That is so true. As I say time and time again, as I've been teaching and God has been giving me revelation of love, that is so true. That is so true. You know, we talk about change. We talk about this and we talk about that. But when it comes time to really do it, then, you know, we fail miserably at it. I want to say an incident as I was reading this book right here, you know, one night, and me and my husband was really going through something, you know, and for many years, you know, we've been hanging in there, we've been having, you know, our ups and downs, but this particular time, you know, it just got to the point to where God was kind of tired, and he was like, "Okay, you need a break from this," you know, was being, you know, not in a good loving mood, but you know, was going through something. And, you know, and it was like, you know, it was like, and then it got to a point to where, you know, we had to do a quick, you know, separation. And so, you know, and I had to step in, you know, because when it comes to, you know, sometimes we have to have boundaries. And when, you know, dealing with people, when it crosses our boundaries and when it comes in to another level, we have to quickly, you know, set those boundaries and then remove, you know, that situation, or take ourselves out of that situation. So that will happen. So then when it happened, you know, but I was so sorrowful. I was so and it was like, and buddy, you know, sometimes we don't understand. We cause things on ourselves. We bring things on ourselves, and God be warning us to stop, to stop, to stop. But then we don't heed the warning. And then when consequences come because of our actions, we quickly get mad at the other person and want to blame the other person for some that we have fallen into. And, you know, and want to say on the other side of me, it had to happen, but it hurt it so that it had to happen, you know. But I still remained in love. I still, while they were out there, I still called. I still, brought lunch. I still did what I was supposed to do as the love, his wife, and as a Christian, you know. So the same thing I would do for somebody else, you know. But we prayed, me and the family, you know, while he was out, we got together and we prayed. And we prayed and we prayed. We prayed that very night, and we prayed that very next day. And we prayed that God would do a change, that God would come in, and that God will do some things in his life. And so we had to come to a situation where, you know, he had to be put in, that he had to see God for himself. And then, so I can say when that time, and sometimes we have to get serious with God. And that moment that we get serious with God, we often say God will hear a sincere prayer, and he will. He will hear a sincere prayer. When we get serious with God and really call out to God for help, he'll be right there. It's like he'll come rushing to our aid. And so I just believe that the moment he got serious with God when he was out there is the moment God started working on my, glory, started working on my heart. Because I was sitting there and I was just talking. So I had been calling him all day, checking on him. And then it was like, well, you know, you got to go and see about yourself. You don't want to be out there outdoors. And he was trying to do, you know, what he needed to do. But I believe the minute that he got serious and serious with himself and serious with God, God brought the thought. He say, if something happened to him out there, you could never live with yourself. And then he brought the scripture. He said, a man falleth down. I said, how many times you should forgive a man? They asked Jesus in the Bible days. And he said, 70 times 7. So God brought that scripture by me. So I said, okay, God, what you want me to do? I said, because God, I don't want to get in the way of what you do. So God, you know, so he allowed him to call. And so then I went and got him, and we talked. And then it was just something different. Even when I seen him, it was just different. And even when I picked him up, he said, I appreciate it. And that was something that I had never heard from him. And I was like, and so we drove and we talked. And it was just something different about him, you know. And I said, you know, and that night he ended up coming back home. I brought him back home. And, you know, I said, it don't take God no long drawn out to help, you know, to come in and rescue us and to come in and change our heart. So I really, you know, experienced that, you know, because it's like, Lord, I still want love, and I still, you know, brought him lunch and, you know, and bought him dinner. I still, you know, I just didn't throw him away. I didn't just, you know, totally turn my back on. You know, I did what God allowed me to do at that moment. At that moment, God was only allowing me to just feed him and just, you know, making sure he was all right and having clean clothes. And so, But then, you know, later on, you know, like I said, I just believe at that minute when he got serious with God and when he really repented, that's when God began to turn around and in turn work on me to soften my heart to let him come back. So love does work. I mean, when you walk and falling after God and you truly want to walk in love, God will show you the way. And I just thank God for showing us the way. Not saying that we, you know, we're not going to have, you know, other, you know, problems that come up. But I just believe we will handle them much different than we have been in the past. And I just thank God, if only one, I chose to step out and let God use me. And let God to reduce me to love. And so since I've been reading this book and since I've been teaching about love, God has been bringing situations up for me to see and how to handle things and to how to apply these same tools that he's given me to situations. And so I just thank God for that. So this is part one of chapter 7. I hope y'all have a blessed day. Love y'all. Love y'all.